Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around. Please be seated. Happy Epiphany. A blessing from Isaiah. May a multitude of camels cover you. I love that line. On this 12th day, 12th night, Christmas is waning to its conclusion, and I always get a little melancholy. I've been taking decorations down bit by bit all week. Tomorrow, the nativities get packed away. The decorations on the tree, all the beautiful ornaments that Beverly and I collected over 45 years of marriage get packed away. The tree comes out and over to the burn pile for later. So tomorrow, Christmas ends. It reminds me, because I get melancholy, a song from John Prine called Souvenirs, which begins with, all the snow has turned to water, Christmas days have come and gone, broken toys and faded colors are all that's left to linger on. Surely, there's more than broken toys and faded colors that linger on for us, right? Much more, because this is the day of gift giving. The wise men, they finally made it to Bethlehem and offered their treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh to the Christ child. And the Christ child is given as a gift to all the peoples on the earth. This feast used to be called the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. These sages, these mystics, these astrologers, astronomers from the East, we don't know exactly from whence they came, probably what we would call Persia today, or Iran, as it were, following a star, following a light that they had never seen before, they came to seek the King of the Jews who had just been born. So naturally, they go to the palace of the present king, right? To ascertain who this might be and where this child might be so that they could go and pay homage and offer their treasures to this infant king. Well, that perked Herod's ears up, as you might imagine. He didn't like it one bit. We know that Herod had three of his own sons murdered, lest they usurp him from his throne. And we know from the remembrance that occurs on December 28th, the slaughter of the holy innocents, that he had all the male children in Bethlehem 2 years of age and under slaughtered by his troops. We know what kind of King Herod was, the kind who would cling to power at all costs, the kind who reveled in the darkness of his own heart. But for the wise men, for us, we have nothing to do with the darkness. We are children of the light. We are called to always look up, to seek the light, even when we feel downcast, even when we feel melancholy, even when we feel depressed by all that's going on around us. People being run down in the street in New Orleans, people burning themselves up in Tesla trucks and over in Las Vegas, murder, mayhem, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, fires, and flood. It seems like the darkness is going to win. But the truth that we cling to is that the darkness cannot, will not, must not win. And we are to arise and shine, for the light has come. And we are bearers of that light. And we are called to be radiant in the here and now in such a way that the craziness, the moral and mental sickness that seeks to drag God's creatures down, that darkness is dispelled by the light that we carry within us. So, Epiphany is an important feast. Now, if you will allow me to wax a little nostalgic and perhaps a little biographic, I became an Episcopalian in 1973 through the Church of the Epiphany down in Newton, North Carolina. I was confirmed there by Matthew George Henry, Bishop of Western North Carolina, of blessed memory. My wife and I were married there in 1976. Our children were baptized there, one in 1987 and one in 1990. They sent me to seminary in 1989, and then I was ordained priest on the Feast of the Epiphany right there in 1992 by Bishop Bob Johnson. And I was given this stole by Frank and Barbara Brown. Anybody remember Frank and Barbara? Barbara was parish secretary, even though she really was administrator. In fact, Barbara was vice president of all things here at Grace Church and knew everything about everyone and everything all the time. Blessed are they in the heavenly kingdom of God. So this feast and this place mean a great deal to me and to my family. And I feel so joyful and privileged that God has called me back here to be among you yet again after some 30 years away. So all that's good. But the feast that we celebrate, this manifestation of Christ to the world, to all the peoples of the world, is such a marvelous thing because it opens the covenant of grace that God made with Israel to all people everywhere. All people everywhere are now included in this mystery of grace, this mystery of divine love. This mystery of light bearing and light sharing is now the inheritance of every human person. And the three magi are, you might say, the tip of the spear that opens up this mystery to the whole human race. I read the most amazing thing this week that Pope Francis had said, or perhaps written, that every human being that worships a deity really is worshiping the one God under a different name, under different cultural symbols, in a different language than perhaps we have heard or know. that all paths seeking a connection with the divine are the paths that lead back to God through the humanity of Jesus Christ. We share his DNA. Isn't that amazing? He is one of us, and we are with him in God so that this light can keep expanding out and out and out. And it doesn't matter, I believe, more and more, whether you call Jesus Christ my personal Lord and Savior, whether you make a confession of faith on his name. I believe more and more and more, when you find truth and beauty and goodness and righteousness and justice wherever you find it, under whatever cultural symbol, in whatever language, from whatever kind of people, you have found God. Because there can be only one source of truth and beauty and goodness and righteousness and mercy and justice and reconciliation and forgiveness, and this Christ child brings all of that to the human race. Not just to white North American Christians, I hate to have to tell you. I know that breaks some of y'all's hearts, but it's just the way it is. And it's time, and well past time, that we began acting like we believe that to be true in our engagement with our fellow human beings. We can no longer divide the world up into us and them. We can no longer say, those folks are heathen. They're pagan. We must convert them, or Jesus won't love us or them. I just can't believe that. I believe that God loves with an indescribable, eternal, perpetual love everyone that God has made. And that everyone that God has made is God's own beloved child. And therefore, our sister, our brother in Christ. And we are given the deep privilege and the vocation and the ministry of being their servants in his name. And that's how the light continues to shine. That's how the darkness cannot, must not ever overcome it. As long as human beings understand that the humanity of every person is as important to God as my humanity is to me, then we are light bearers. And we are gift bringers. And we are making him manifest wherever we live and with whomever we encounter. We make Jesus present again. I love the Feast of the Epiphany for all the reasons I've told you and for many, many more. Because it opens the door and lets everyone in. Isn't that the way God planned it? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? That the doors are thrown open. That the vocation of human beings is not to be gatekeepers to keep people out, but to be welcomers. Y'all come, right? Y'all come. Come on over. Come on in. We'll have a party. We'll shine some light. We'll light some candles. Might even burn a little incense. Because God made humanity to live together in peace and love and justice. If you live in Asheville, you have seen the bumper stickers that say coexist, right? That have all the religious symbols of the world on them. I love that. And that idea can be made manifest. It can be made incarnate. We can put flesh on the idea of peaceful coexistence with all other human beings. We have nothing to fear from our own kinfolk, because that's what they are. I heard Bob Johnson, our former bishop, say once in a sermon, and I don't know who did his fact-checking for him, that doesn't matter, that it is genetically impossible to be more than a 50th cousin from any living human being. Well, that's something to hang on to, isn't it? That when you walk up to somebody that looks different, speaks another language, comes from another culture, your first response would be, "Hi, cuz. I'm so glad to meet you." We're all cousins. We're all part of the family of humanity. And the infant of Bethlehem comes into the world to redeem all of us, to save all of us. And if all of us aren't saved, I'm not sure that I want to be, truthfully. It's that important. It's that important. And here's the thing. If you believe that it is God's intended purpose to redeem, restore, reconcile, save all things and all people through the work of His Son, then you must ask, is it possible for the creature, us, to thwart the will of the Creator? Is that even theologically possible? I would say not. It is not possible for the creature to thwart the will of the Creator. And I believe it is the will of the Creator to do all that Christ accomplishes by becoming fully one of us, fully human, sharing our DNA and the humanity of every other person. The Reverend Dr. Donald Smith Armantrout, late professor of church history and academic dean at the School of Theology in Sewanee, preached my ordination sermon from this pulpit on that Epiphany Feast, 1993. And one of the lines in Don's sermon was, "God had a plan, and that plan was a man. And his name is Jesus." Jesus is God's plan for the salvation of the human race, and more than that, for the salvation of the created universe. As he says from the throne in the last chapter of Revelation to John, "Behold, I make all things new." And the dwelling of God is with humanity. So let's gird up our loins. Let's pack up our gifts. Let's light our lights and carry them out of here to light the world with the love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around, and every human you see will have the face of Jesus and the light of Christ. Let's share that light with everyone we see. And whatever darkness befalls us in this country, in this world, going forward, that light will dispel. So don't be depressed. Don't be afraid. Be joyful light bearers when you leave here today. And happy Epiphany. And may a multitude of camels cover you. Amen. Amen.